We'll call this meeting to order.
It is the Oceano Community Services District. Today is Wednesday, February 26, 2014. It is 6:30 p.m. Marie, can I get a roll call vote?
President Guerrero?
Present.
Vice President Lucy?
Present.
Director White?
Present.
Director Blackburn?
Present.
Director Angelo?
I'm here.
All right, everybody is present for it. And if we could join, if you could join me at the flag salute. Move on to item number four, which is the agenda review. I wanted to pull off 9C until the March 12th meeting because the item that was contained in the packet didn't contain all of our changes that we had made. So we'll continue that until March 12th. I'd like to move 10B in front of 10A. That's the farmer's market parking. I see Mary's here. And then...
Were we going to put that under consent?
Did you say D in front of
B? B in front of A.
B in front of A?
Yeah. You know, we could put it on consent.
Been discussed.
Yeah. We've already been discussed. So why don't we move 10B up to the consent calendar? That's just the easiest.
Okay, thank you.
And we'll make that the new 9D. Or excuse me, yeah, 9D.
Matt, can you clarify?
Item 10B is now going to be the new 9D. We're putting it on the consent calendar.
10B is going to 9D.
9D is a dog.
9D.
Yes.
Okay.
Since we've already discussed it. item number 13, which is the received written communications regarding Lopez, I wanted to move up into the business item. We did receive a letter from Mr. Edwards and Ms. Tacker regarding that.
Lori, can you turn on your mic, please?
Yeah, your mic.
Oh, there it is.
Oh, it's going on and off.
Yeah, it's on.
It's on.
Okay. On the accounts payable, I have one item I'd like to have pulled off of there, too.
On the warrants?
Yes, the warrants. It's item 01-0179 for Smith & Sons.
Which number is that, Lori? I'm sorry.
Page 3, I'm sorry. Underwater?
9B.
It's 9B.
Is that the $15,000 charge?
Yes. Yeah. I want to pull that because $15,401.
Yes. That's the disaster cleanup from the...
Yeah.
Is it on the consent agenda?
It is on the consent
then
agenda.
Then you have to pull the entire...
You have to pull the packet.
I would pull the whole packet
into
discussion just in case there's anything else, and then we just keeps it cleaner.
Then we'll drop that down into 10, make it 10.
10A1.
There we go.
Okay, 10A1.
Thanks, Mary. Anything else, Lori?
No, that was it.
All right, Jennifer?
Nope.
Karen?
Nope.
All right, I'll move to approve as modified.
Second.
All right, Ms. Blackburn seconded it. We'll have a roll call vote then. Maria?
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
All right, it carries by a vote of 5-0. We'll move on to item number 5, public comment on matters not on the agenda. Is there any public comment this evening? Is there any speaker request forms, Mr. Curtis?
I have none.
Okay. Mr. Edwards is coming. Good evening, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. Board members, good evening. My name is Jeff Edwards. I wanted to speak a little bit about what appears to be somebody that's conspicuously absent tonight. It's your district accountant, Ms. Jocelyn Hodson. You can see her name tag turned over. At your February 12th meeting, which, as you may know, I wasn't in attendance, but I did watch the replays, and I saw a very disturbing situation emerge. There was a discussion about reinvent the wheel, but she was extremely embarrassed. Worst yet, Your staff, head of staff, your general manager, failed to back her up. That's where the buck stops right there. And this gentleman had nothing to say in support of your district accountant. Neither did your board members, which that's not your job. It's really the GM's job. As you know now, that following day, on February 13th, Ms. Hodson submitted her resignation to resign as your district accountant. Does that matter to you folks? She was the one individual that expressed an incredible interest in learning about your district and so forth, in addition to many of the folks in your yard. They're interested. They show an interest in learning. But so now you're faced with retaining your general manager, and you lose your district accountant. She's someone you cannot afford to lose now. You have a budget coming up. So I repeat the question I've posed before. How did he get here? And why is he still here? Because he clearly is not helping this district move forward. You're going backwards, especially now that you've lost your accountant at a critical time. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Is there any other public comment this evening? All right, seeing none, we'll close public comment. We'll go on to special presentations. None. Item 7 is reports. Sheriff's South Station, is there a report from Sheriff's Department this evening?
There is.
Oh, good evening. Well, welcome.
Good evening. I'm Jay Donovan, commander of the Sheriff's South Station, right across the driveway. And first, I'd like to thank you for having a podium big enough for me to actually put my book on. Last night, it kept falling off, and I was down in Napomo, so I appreciate that. Just a couple things I'd like to talk about, just an overview of the calls for service in the last month.
Okay.
And then a couple of crime prevention tips. I usually like to toss a few of those out. I find that they're sometimes obvious and sometimes they're not, but we'd like to just go over a couple. Last month in Oceano, we had a total of 478 calls for service, which is down a bit, which is good considering the weather's been so nice. Usually the calls for service are up when the weather's been like it has been. Out of those calls, 23 were disturbance-related calls of all types. We had 24 medical aids. There were 23 arrests made in Oceano. We had 4 detective division for follow-up. So there was that. The thefts looking over the previous months, last 6 months, although I didn't bring the numbers with me to be very accurate, they have in fact gone down on theft-related offenses. So that's a good thing, obviously. What I would like to talk about, though, are the recent scams that we've been having reported or have heard about. And one of them is probably the most common. I'll kind of turn so everybody can hear me or see who's speaking to you, is the missed call. And some of you heard me talk about this on Monday, so I apologize. But this is a really expensive one. And I think most of us, you know, either have caller ID at home or on our cell phones. And you see a missed call. The majority of people pick up their phone, they see a missed call, or they can't answer it because they're driving or whatever. And you just dial it back. Well, what the criminal elements figured out to do is to tie that to offshore connected lines, billings from... It can be from the Marshall Islands, it can be from Europe, Africa, anything like that. And as soon as you make that call, it delays the receipt of the call, it rings longer. Then somebody says, can you hold for just a minute? And you say yes, and then you end up getting a bill for, you know, $150, $250, $300 for this phone call. So I would urge everyone to be cautious about missed callbacks. I don't, especially after this. When I get a missed call, if I don't recognize the number, my daughter pointed out that I had a smartphone, and I'm not that smart with using it. I go Google the number. That's my way around it. And if it comes up to be a legitimate, you know, Los Angeles or Phoenix or whatever area code and that, and I feel comfortable, then I call it back. So that makes me feel a little bit better about it. The other, we haven't had any reported here, but Santa Barbara County has, is the missed jury duty. Getting a phone call saying you have a warrant for your arrest for missing jury duty. Here they don't issue warrants for your arrest for jury duty, and nobody identifying themselves as a deputy sheriff will be contacting you, asking you to pay $300 within the next 15 minutes or go to jail. So what you end up getting is another letter telling you to show up for jury duty, and then hopefully your civic mindedness overtakes you and you show up. Reverse 911. I talked on Monday night down at the Napomo South County Advisory Council, And the discussion there was, and well, I'm not going to go into that part here, but was over the refinery rail expansion project. And part of that was our emergency and disaster preparedness. And I can assure you that we have those plans in place depending on the type of incident. But what I discovered is how few people actually understand what we call reverse 911. And that is missing, you know, senior citizens, somebody with Alzheimer's, somebody we need help finding right away because they're endangered. If you have Vonage or Charter telephone, Magic Jack, any of those, you have to register that, just like you have to register your cell phone. And you can register more than one phone. So what you can do is go online if you're interested. And I would encourage everybody to do this. And if you have, you know, even if you know you're going to be on vacation and you want your children or a relative out of town to know, they can register their cellular phone to your address so they get the same notices so you can keep up on your friends and neighbors. And I think that's really important. Is you go to the website, which is www.slosheriff.org, and I really stress the www part because I went to do it because I figured I ought to figure out how it's done so that I can, you know, talk with some confidence about it. Turns out when I didn't put the www and when I typed it, it took me to a website in Russia. And I ended up with all these Cyrillic things, and I'm like, well, I'm pretty sure this isn't Sheriff Parkinson's picture I'm looking at. So with the www, it took me to the correct place.
It might have been.
Yeah, it's like, wow, check that out. And there's a little box that says reverse 911. You click on it, tells you what to do, tells you where to register. And on Monday night's meeting, three of the folks that were in attendance, from the time I said this until I got to the back of the room, had registered and were showing me their things. So I would encourage and hope that everybody would take time to do that. Make sure, especially if you have kids at home, they're going to be home alone. And I think so many people now just have cellular phones. Mm-hmm. We don't have, you know, I mean, it's $40, $50 a month for a hardline phone, and you always have your cellular with you. Make sure they're registered so they can get the notice and you know what's going on. Other than that, that's really all I have. Is there any?
Could you repeat the web address again, please?
I sure can. www.slosheriff.com. And just slosheriff.org.
Thank you, Sheriff. Commander.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Commander Donovan. Really appreciate it. You got a lot of energy.
I try to. I'm sorry I'm going to have to. We have our volunteer meeting at 7, so I'll be sliding back next door to talk to them tonight, too, and make sure everything's going well. They're keeping up on the graffiti abatement program. I'm sure you see the spots where it happens.
Right.
They're usually on it within 2 to 3 days. Sometimes it's in the week, so I want to make sure they keep moving forward.
I've seen them a lot in the community. Thank you to them for us.
I will extend that to them. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, we'll move on. The fire chief's not here. We'll move on to item 7C, OCSD administration oral report. And also there are some documents. I'd like to
please provide me direction. That's no problem. Okay. Secondly, on the drought, the drought symposium in Sacramento was well attended online. It was not as well attended as I thought it would be in Sacramento, although I was probably, I want to say one of the few from the Central Coast area at the meeting. I believe there was one fellow from the Paso Robles area. They're quite into it because of their drought conditions also in North County. So I'd say there was one from South County and one from North County, but at least we were represented. And I did talk to several of my colleagues, and I was able to glean different information about what other districts are doing and how they're getting around things within the condition. Where the governor has declared zero supplemental water supplies for this year. So that affects us directly, and it affects a lot of people. Probably.
I think it's zero state water.
Zero state water, right. State project water. The thing that was really probably, it just doesn't come out in the press. The thing that was really striking was that this is going to affect thousands of Californians. This isn't going to end anytime soon. This is not going to be our last rodeo. This is not our first. It's going to happen again. And they really, really were trying to prod the districts and agencies to look forward, be forward thinking on how are we going to get from here to there this time, the near term and the next time and be more prepared the next and the next and the next. And it's not that we're going to get used to it, but we're going to be prepared for it. This one is going to cut very deep. We do produce a tremendous amount of fruits and vegetables from the Central Valley, and there's an area that's really hurting. And what will happen is they will suffer severe unemployment because the laborers will, there just simply isn't water. There will not be a crop. Beyond land fallowing, a lot of crops are have been changed into a little bit more lucrative, where they're growing almonds instead of tomatoes, as an example. And so they're on trees instead of on the tomato vines. And also with up here in the North County, going, you know, high production of grapes. You know, that too is a watershed. And then the northern cities watershed area, if you will. And each one of these have a different makeup than they had 20 years ago, 30 years ago for sure. And so the makeup has changed, but a lot of things are the same. The pipelines, the districts, how they functioned, and what they did is different. And so they were really trying to highlight, look, we need California. We're all in this. It's not about some small district here, or it's not about Southern California. Southern California has used less water. They're not exporting from the Northern California like they were in the old days, where they were taking a lot of Northern California water. They're taking most of their water out of the Colorado River aqueduct, and a small supply that they do get out of the state project that they do have. Los Angeles, Metropolitan Water District Southern California and its member agencies are using less today than it did 10 years ago. So it's not about moving it from one area to another necessarily. We're suffering here locally because we have not built the facilities or shepherded our facilities to improve our groundwater basin and to have that extra storage, to have that buffer on site in place so that there's reliability for us. We're fortunate that our portfolio has groundwater, surface water out of Lopez, and also state project water that is moved and wheeled through Lopez. So we have three arrows in our quiver, if you will. But others don't. Others do not have that robust of a portfolio. So we're very dynamic, and we're very lucky. I don't say lucky, but there was some foresight by the district and the trustees of this district to move forward and become part of that. The speaker at the symposium pointed out many things. One of the speakers talked about the fire danger now, and being responsive. There is not a summer season. It doesn't start in April. It's never ended last year. That's how dry the basin, and that's how dry California is. There's no new water, as I've said before. Moreover, a lot of the lakes, rivers and streams are flowing at a very minute level. The lakes are suppressed and depressed. There's not water there for which we can be using to put out fires. There'll be a lot of hand crews this year. And so we didn't go out of the using it specifically. The watershed here, by this time of year, the San Francisco and South San Francisco area would have received approximately 11 inches on average, 11 inches of rain. We've received approximately a little more than 1 inch at this period of time. Last year at this time, we'd received 4, which is still much below average. So it was 4 last year, it's 1 this year. So it certainly has gone from bad to worse. We're in a drought. It's very tough. It's hard to tell people to cut back when there's no water, and they need water for their fruits and vegetables that they grow even on their property. But what we're looking to do and encourage people is to not waste water. I was at a local group yesterday in Santa Maria, and that conservation effort there, they're encouraging. They're taking out all the stops. They're putting in page ads. They're putting bill stuffers in to try to incorporate drought. The drought is on. Turn the water off. I thought it was a really smart, brilliant moniker to put out there. The drought is on. Turn your sprinklers off. So anywhere there's water use that's safe for living and that type of thing, that you should try to think twice about using it, and don't flush twice. Flush once. And, you know, we all see different levels of water waste. A lot of the restaurant industry has taken a hold of this. You have to ask for water to get it. So it's moving in the right direction from a lot of standpoints. But the overarching theme of this was, we're going to do this again.
And again.
And again. And again. So, you know, desal is not the solution currently. They're building a $500 million plant in Carlsbad currently. And that's to serve part of the San Diego County Water Authority for where I used to work. Even desal won't do it unless we had several of these all up and down the western coast of the United States, specifically in California. Go a little bit north in Oregon and Washington. They're not certain. They're not hit as severe as we are. But we are in a very severe drought. And the areas were represented, I thought, pretty well from the ag community, the governmental communities with the fire, and some folks there from U.S. Fish and Wildlife, as well as the Farm Bureau and the stuff that's in from bad to worse yet. It is that bad. And, you know, I sound like a little bit of a broken record. I've provided the background information that I did collect at the symposium. There are a lot of online resources available for drought, and we'll post this on our website and make it available to the public. It's a fairly long list, and it will help people that really want to do this and help out their community, help out their neighbors with resources and areas that they can conserve water. Conservation is a way of life. Like I said, I really like that. Turn the water. The drought is on. Turn the water off. So that's a very black and white saying, off and on. So the drought is on. Turn the water off. So we can get ingrain that into the general public at large. We'll be doing the right thing and doing so. I will put up the information that I have collected at the symposium on our website. It is part of the agenda packet. And if you have any questions specifically of me, that what I did cover or who I talked to and the like, and any other information, I'll answer your questions. Thank you.
Can you update us on operationally how things are, what's been happening in the yard and in the office?
Here at Oceano?
Yes.
Operationally. Okay. Are we moving into my...
We're on your staff report, so...
I did the briefing out of Sacramento. I was going to talk about that when you came up to it, but that's okay.
I don't mean to interrupt. I didn't know if you were done.
No, that's okay. My staff report on operations. Operations has gone along fairly decent in some respects. We did have a water and sewer committee meeting, and we talked about some activities that we are doing, and the staff currently has been out marking out the route that they're going to be taking. We're looking at renting a vehicle, a truck that can tow our jetter from site to site, from manhole to manhole, so that we can begin the process of doing some of our sewer cleaning activities that have absent any other effort that have not been done. Sometimes where there's been line breaks, it's been done, but it hasn't been done as a operations and maintenance rule of thumb. We need to answer that question on a daily basis to our folks, the general public out in the district. It's really important. It's important for them to understand where we're at and where we're going, because where we're at is not a good place. Our system has been neglected with respect to maintenance and cleaning our sewers. And this was, like I said, this was discussed a little bit more at length at our water and sewer meeting. And certainly Director Blackburn and Director Lucy can highlight anything that they had when they talk about their activities. Overall, though, we're still doing the pro forma, and we're trying to hone in on those things that are going to be in next year's budget. We're starting the budget process, and it's really important to try to catch everything we can. because it hasn't been done this way, the way that I'm performing it this year, that has not been performed in past years. We have had our budgets that have been accepted and they've been reviewed, and different financial people have said, and they've given their blessing to it, that we're, everything's above board. But what isn't, hasn't been done is the preparation of the budget and how we're going to move forward. Again, it's the forward thinking here at the district, I think, is the single area where I think we can improve. We can improve on the staff basis. I can improve. Always I can improve. And by us improving, the district improves. So, you know, we want to do that. We have some hardworking people here at the district, and I can speak for the staff that they do want to improve, and they're all in it. We're all in it, and we're in it to win it, if you will, but we're in it to make it better day by day by day. Anyhow, if you have any specific questions, we did have a couple of line breaks. One particular, unfortunately, was our good friend, Director Angelo's, behind her property, and it was a very expensive line break, and I know that's the item that Director Angelo pulled the financial information on, and we're trying to figure out the reasons and the wherefores, but our water system and sewer system, when you have a line break, that's not insured. We damage the property. It's caused by Oceano. It's not caused by something that a homeowner did. It's not appropriate to back charge a property owner when it's not their fault. If it's their fault and they've damaged the system, then it goes to the property owner. But when it's not, and it's just a routine line break, where it was a nice clean water, but nonetheless, it's still where we're at. We pushed a bunch of sand into her pool and made that inoperable for some time. We did hire the outfit Smith & Sons to clean it up. We did go back. We have filled Miss Angelo's pool with water. So we're trying to make it whole as a district. We do this for any customer. It's on us. It's on me. And we're going to make it right for our public. And it just happened to be Director Angelo. But I can assure you it would be for any member, John Q. public out there. We would do the same. So that's what's happened. That's what's going on these days. Any questions for me?
Your mic's off. We got a bad connection. There it goes. Now it's working.
Magic fingers here. I just wanted to say that the gentleman from the water yard were there lickety-split. I mean, it was on a early morning break, like 6 o'clock. And they managed to get there in less than 30 minutes and get everything shut down. So it could have been worse damage, but because they were on it so fast and they worked to get the mess contained and stuff, really helped a lot. I am kind of want to look at this charge because they didn't split it up between properties. They just did a gross coverage. And I think there's some errors in that. So that's why I'm asking to pull it, because I think there's some clarification before we should pay that from the district. Because I have a pretty good idea. I did most of the stuff I needed done with myself or my employees that I have, just because it was easier, faster, and not having to involve a cleaning company when they could work on the neighbor's house type
sure.
thing.
Sure.
So I'm a little concerned about it, but I'm going to look into that and make sure it's all up and up.
Okay.
But I do appreciate all my neighbors came with shovels and brooms and started pulling stuff out in my garage and loading it in their trucks, and Director Lucy showed up, and Miss Linda Guyton showed up, and you know, it was just, I couldn't believe how many people showed up for this.
It became a community event.
It did, and they all came to see how they were doing, and I had nothing but good comments for all the guys at the water yard, how fast they moved and how well they did, and I really appreciated it, and I'm glad to see that, you know, they have that feeling of, you know, accomplishing things and getting them done and taken care of right away, because they did. And I think that's throughout the community.
One of the unknown variables that occurred there, and we've done that maintenance that's needed throughout our community. So that was a good thing, and we're glad to be of service.
Hey, you couldn't ask for better. I mean, I was surprised, because I've had issues I've dealt with in Grover
sure.
with property, too, and it's not always that smooth.
Yeah.
So. Much appreciated.
Go ahead, John.
I was just wondering if you had an update on the emergency generator specs and talking to the...
On the emergency generator, as you recall, last meeting, Mr. Al Coryell from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, USDA, was here. And we've started the process. We, like we said at the last meeting, he came in the following day, I believe it was, and he's met with staff, and we've taken note. And what we need to do on the front end is to start the process of filling out the documents, the front end documents, so that we're in line. So it's a preliminary submittal is what it's called. It's a preliminary submittal. And we're looking to do that so that we get ourselves going. And he felt we were in good shape to do that. Specifically, we're at the, I believe, 73% of funding for opportunities that we qualify for, because we're in an area that hasn't had this, and it's also because of the median income in this area. It's less than the surrounding areas, so it puts us at a higher pay, if you will, to pay this area greater than it would another that has more capacity to absorb that, where we don't. So it's a little silver lining to it, but we're working on the process of doing that. It's like a pre-employment physical, but in our case, it's a pre-application submittal, and we're giving them all the information that we do need to have.
Okay. Are we any further along in getting specs for the generator, what we'll actually need?
I'm sorry?
Are we any further along in getting the specs for the generator? Like what our needs
are? I do have a complete set of plans and specifications that I have used in the past for work that I have engineered. So I'm very confident with what we have.
Okay. And it's looked at the needs that for the different buildings that it will be servicing?
Yes, it will function as the generator for the facilities that this one does currently. We're talking about well 8, and it will function to take care of the electrical needs of the emergency needs of the sheriff's substation, our building, Oceano CSD, and 5
into one of our basins on that disaster. Mr. Curtis, can I ask you a little bit more about the compliance with the SB 7 and where we are with that? And I have read, and it wasn't very exciting, let me tell you, but the drought report for the county, and I see that our section is not in there. And where do you know how we can get up to speed and get our stuff over to the county and get it included in the document?
Yes.
Because I think there's a lot of things that are happening in conservation, but we don't capture them because they don't fall into a category per se.
Right.
And so I think we need to have a plan here.
Well, I can tell you right currently, as you know, yesterday I had to left the meeting to go to this conservation workshop, if you will, from the Santa Barbara County and San Luis Obispo County in Santa Maria. We met a public works yard. And we talked about those things that are going on around us, and I've worked with my counterparts and what they're doing and what works. Ironically, one of the things I found out that was quite interesting is bill stuffers work. There was a study done by University of California at Santa Barbara, UCSB, and they found in their communications department, they found that the bill stuffers are one of the best ways and most bang for the buck. So I'm looking at what others have, and we as a group were collectively looking at what we can do. But as far as getting back to Oceano, which is our main concern here, is to do that and to bring forward any kind of public information work that others have done. I'm trying to dovetail on their work and certainly not take credit for it, but grab what they can. I'm working with them. They're more than happy to share with the CSD and move it forward, but I am working on that concurrently.
Okay.
So I am doing that, and yeah. I did talk to the San Luis Obispo County. I did talk to Public Works Director, and I talked to folks from San Luis Obispo County yesterday.
Okay, great. Maybe you can have one of the board members work with you so the board can be kept apprised on where that project's going.
Sure.
I've been talking to Amanda up in Cambria, and in fact, we're going to meet here relatively soon on other things. I think that Cambria really has not rate increases that hurt households, not those types of rate increases, but, you know.
Sure.
Maybe tiering changes and to that effect, but just to know everything. Also, too, is have you had a chance to talk to David, sit down and meet with David Church at LAFCO or anything like that?
I have
since
not
you've
talked.
Been here?
Well, I talked.
Just in passing, basically.
Pardon me?
You haven't had a chance to have an appointment with him or anything?
No, I talked to him at the California Special District's dinner the other night.
Okay.
But I'm leaving that door open so that he and I, he was grateful for me reaching out to him. So he said, we need to get together. And I said, sure.
Yeah, he's
no
a great
problem.
Person.
Sure.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Director White,
do you have any questions? You forgot you and I went to the seminar on water law.
Well, I can't take all the glory in that.
Well, it was
glory.
It was really interesting, and I'd like actually to get a video of it and watch it again.
We went to I was fortunate. Yeah. Our attorney Jeff Minery and Matt, our president Mr. Guerrero, he asked me to attend a water law session that's put on by the San Luis Obispo Bar Association. And it was really, really a good meeting. And sometimes I didn't necessarily learn some things, but there's other areas that there's some fine details. You can always get something out of this stuff. And that's what I was looking for, and that's what I did pick up. Along with that, you get other questions that are asked of by the attorneys. And it's interesting to see how groundwater and what's going on in this county, how it's on top of the mountain. It really is. It really is the big issue here in San Luis Obispo County. Water rights, forming a new district, special district legislation in the state assembly and the state senate, and moving forward with the formation of the independent Paso Robles water district. Not sure which form it's going to take at this time, but they have a pretty good feeling with it. Now, the Board of Supervisors has put their blessing on it to move forward on that, so look for a new district to be formed between.
And I think Katja was going to do some legislation.
What's that?
Special legislation.
Yeah.
Yes, the special legislation will also be carried in Sacramento by the local representative, the state senator there, so.
Prescriptive easements, adjudication, you know.
All those nasty words.
Yeah.
And I
thought it was really good, so hopefully we can get a copy of that video.
I think what the main concern is, if I read this correctly, is that there's so many stakeholders at the table.
Yeah.
That it's kind of muddled the water. And it's, although people support a special district in that area, but it really truly is stakeholders.
The stakeholders there are very diverse, but they have tried to focus on their how people, as far as property owners, vote their, if they will, the way they have brought it forward, their fair share, and they want their local representation. That's why the independent special district route is a good one for them. And that local representation on the board, you have large landowners, medium size, and small, and then the general public that may only have a house in the district. They may not even be an owner, but they have a voice. And they're going to have three at large, three from the large. I don't think it's going to be 12, but it may be a 12-person board that will be the initial board. And then I think once it's all settled in, then they will recodify however it's formed and boil it down a little bit. But they don't want to have too many cooks in the kitchen to do that specific district. But they do want to make sure everybody is included.
All right, we'll move on to the Board of Directors and Outside Committees reports. Director Angelo?
I don't have anything. I got next month, I do.
Okay, Director Blackburn?
I was at Zone 11A at the meeting, and County Public Works update was that the Highway 1 and 13th Street appeal that was at the Coastal Commission was denied with them finding no substantial issue with the project. With the AG Creek project, they are still talking to permitting and resource agencies. Those discussions are still going on, so we're just waiting to hear back from them. And then also, they mentioned that the temporary levee protection was not done this year. They had to decide in December, and they did it last year, and it wasn't needed. And so not doing it this year, they have saved $30,000. So that is pretty much all that I had to report, although I further
down the creek?
Down or towards the beach.
Okay, because they can go 22nd Street east.
Yes.
They can't go past 22nd Street west. And that's where the problem is.
Yeah.
East is not the problem.
Okay.
It's west. And so I know that those permits were supposed to be kept on file, but
Rumor
has it they weren't, but that's just rumors.
Yeah. And I think that's a lot of the project, the Alternative 3A project that they're working on.
Yeah.
It will help with that.
Yeah.
If they can get it to work.
Okay, thank you for asking.
Sure.
Anything else, Ms. Blackburn?
No, that's all I have. All right.
I handled the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District last Wednesday. Not really much to report. Reapproved the investment policy. An idea I've been kicking around this last week is the state is, $650 million or something they're putting into the drought efforts. I don't have time to do it before next week, but I may draft a letter to be considered asking for some of that money to be brought to South San Luis Obispo for the recycling water projects. Maybe there's some federal monies and try to protect our resources. So that's something to look forward in the future, but it hasn't happened yet. So,
I'm glad to see that the Sand District's starting to take that up because that's a really big ding in our belt in the South County. It's kind of like the spigot being left on.
Oh, and I went on Monday to, and they were making storm preparations to try to make sure that.
So everybody should get their sandbags. The district does provide free sandbags, and there's sand over on 13th Street. And I went and filled mine up yesterday and did it. So I attended the Special Service District annual evening meeting over in Avila Beach Friday night. Exciting time. And I attended the Fire Authority Town Hall meeting on the assessment for the fire department. And I know that my household is definitely going to support yes, in that it gives us a sense of a peace of mind, knowing that the guys are there and if anything happens, it's worth it to us. The Special Service District evening meeting was actually very, very nice. I love the people who attend that. They're really great now, which means, at some point we're going to have to make a decision because in 2020, that's it. There is no more build out. I mean, we're running out of land, so now we're in the revitalization of the land that we have. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to make an appointment with David Church next week if his schedule allows it. And talk to him more about, utilizing land to the best of our ability when it's limited and we're locked. And I can't think of a better person to do that with. I also was able to attend the Oceano Advisory Committee, and I'm going to give these to Karen because she's the chair. But I think that in the spirit of conservation and high electrical and gas bills, that this will be beneficial to all. Thanks.
Ms. White?
Yeah, I have a report. The first one is Five Cities Fire Authority met last week, and one of the things that's going to come before Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, and Oceano will be unification of the standards for weed abatement. Always before, they've been kind of one here, one there, but they're going to bring them to all three of us to consider. And I think probably, I haven't heard officially, but after that, somewhere along the line, I'm sure this group is also going to have to deal with fireworks on a yearly basis. And
we like that here.
Yeah, I know. The report as of today, 17.6% of the assessment ballots have been returned. People have until April 4th. And the League of Women Voters is collecting them all, and they're being stored under lock and key by the League of Women Voters at the Grover City Vault. So, and if there's any other questions?
And is there spare ballots where people can, if they lost theirs, they misplaced it, or?
I don't know. I'll find out.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, they can go on the 4th. They can go to the hearing on the 4th and make a verbal comment, a verbal vote due on the 4th.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And Monday night was Oceano Advisory Council. And one of the big things is what Mary Lucy discussed was a community engineering challenge program where
energy.
Cheryl Cochin, Santa Barbara County Planning Department, 781-5623 or energy@co.slo.ca.us. And 4th District Supervisor Karen Ray was also there. And to support this challenge, Community Energy Challenge Program. And also she reported on the double roundabout at Cienega and Highway, or Housing Road in Cienega. And there's nothing happening on that because it's not funding. The other thing, there's also delay in putting an equestrian center somewhere along the beach because they're looking for someone to take on the responsibility and the liability and move the project forward, and there's no volunteers. So nobody has, I mean, there is interest, but nobody has taken on the responsibility.
And liability, like you put in.
And liability, right. Yeah. Yeah. So, and there was 5 different plan reviews looked at. They were all given a general stamp of approval, although it was requested that the 13-lot subdivision addition to the Avocado Ranch off Elm Street would include street lights. And it was stressed strongly, but I don't know what that's going to get to us. And the next meeting is going to be March 24th. Yeah. And they're inviting somebody from the county to come and discuss the Phillips 66 refinery expansion, which will include 3 to 5 oil trains through Oceano every week. Excuse me. It's good cold. Anything else?
No. Thank you, Karen.
I just want to really quickly stress, Matt, the Energy Challenge Program. For those old aluminum windows that so many of the houses have, now's the time to get those windows. They're not going to charge residents for this. The weather stripping, you got that screen door that hangs like this, and the wind blows through, and the sand, and the dirt, blah, blah, blah. Now's the time. They'll come in and straighten that screen door out. You know, I cannot stress the importance. They're going to give everybody light bulbs, those energy-efficient $20 things at the market. Free service. And they have all their partners, and they'll make the appointments right there that night, you know, and get it done. They're not going to complicate it this time.
Great. Bring
Karen,
the kids.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
On the reviews for the minor use permit for the 3 vacation rentals.
Yeah.
How did that come up? I mean, how'd you guys feel about that particular spot there? Where it's at? Do you remember? I don't know if it would come up for discussion or not.
Those were just at.
Okay.
Well, those were.
Yeah, I think they were approved with little comment.
Little comment.
Yeah, it wasn't any comment.
No.
Okay.
That's not the one behind you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only access is through the alleyway to that property. And it's all marked for fire department, so I know we've had issues when they had the fire out there, people parking down in that area. So I know the gentleman that's building that, and that was one of the concerns that I had talked to him about. So
okay.
I think he's got it figured out, but I just was wondering what you guys had seen.
Sorry, I failed you.
That's okay.
Yeah.
No,
you can definitely
fine.
Let the county know as well.
One more
your
little
concerns.
Report.
Sure.
No, I think if he's...
We had a fire that could have been very dangerous at 3 o'clock this morning.
Oh.
It was a motorhome that was parked down... It was outside the fence, adjacent to the store, the trailer park, storage place on Railroad Roundabout. It was in the weeds. The guy who owned it had parked it there, was going to put a for sale sign on it. Something happened. It burned to the tires at 3 o'clock this morning, and three trailers on the other side of the fence in the storage yard were scorched, and it was high in the weeds. They were able to catch it when they left the station here. They could see it. They think it was possibly somebody living in there or something, but it wasn't the owner's. He had no connection with that. But had it not been a nice, cool night, those trailers... Mm-hmm. They sure burn, and there's a lot of stuff down there, a lot of debris, a lot of weeds, and a lot of fire hydrants. This was almost close enough to one fire hydrant that they couldn't use it for a while.
Wow.
So,
good evening, Ms. Tacker. Marie?
This is the consent agenda.
This is the consent agenda.
Public gets to participate on every subject that you talk about. That's how
yes,
it works. Even consent calendars.
Yes.
Even consent calendars.
I had a legal question.
Yeah, and I think it was confirmed.
Let's move forward.
Okay, my name is Julie Tacker, and I thank you all for your reports. I was very interested in the trip to Sacramento when... You talked about it 2 weeks ago. It was characterized more as a state water project contractor meeting. I felt there was some urgency that all state water contractors should be there, and that it was going to be at the Capitol. When your packet came and I saw this, 12 pages of report, I thought, wow, a lot went on there. And then I realized that it's actually, the packet's been duplicated, so it's really only half this amount of paper. And what really struck me was that this complete day was available in a webinar. And your district is in financial straits. And Mr. Curtis could have done this from the luxury of his desk, in a webinar, watching the proceedings by computer. And a lot of people, as he said, participated in that manner. I don't think you have the money and the luxury to continue to spend money sending him places. He's got work to do here. I think I've heard each one of you speak to the highest priority in the district, and that it is that generator. Should there be a disaster of some kind, that well may need to run, certainly the backup power for the sheriff and the fire station are essential. And when he had it was on the last agenda that you would have specs and some kind of design or an RFP. Thank you.
Is there any other public comment, sir? Good evening.
Hi. I'm Don Lucas, and I live over on 1511 16th Street. And I'd been in to see Mr. Curtis here about a week and a half ago regarding there was some permits taken out on this house. I've had it for a year, and the previous owner had...
Can you speak into the microphone? They're having trouble.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Had started the process over in Slo County Planning Commission, blah, blah, getting some permits. As it turns out, He never got the ones, I believe it was for water and sewer over there. I don't know what in the world they were about. But the point is, I went down, that Slo County gave me some papers to have them sign off here, and I got them signed off, except for this water and sewer part. And apparently the gentleman who owned it before me never paid his fees, whatever they were for, in regards to the permit. And Mr. Curtis informed me that that would now be my responsibility. And he was going to get back with me and to let me know how much those fees were. How much were those anyway?
Your microphone's not on.
Sorry, Mr. Lucas, I do not have a final figure for that right now.
I can't move forward with this until I know what those fees are, but he was suggesting to me that they might be between $3,000 and $7,000 or $9,000 or something. I'm thinking, hold everything. I didn't incur those fees. The guy, the owner before me, incurred those fees. And while it may be some legal technicality where I'm stuck with this, I would like to see that if I am stuck with somebody else's negligence, that those fees can be ameliorated or deleted or what have you. I don't even know how much they are, other than Mr. Curtis's suggestion that they might be multiple thousands of dollars, which, quite frankly, I don't have. But I need to finish this project that I was stuck with. So can something be done about those unpaid fees is my question. I presented the problem. I'd like to know, can something be done about them? I mean, can they be wiped out, or I don't even know what the heck they're for. I don't understand it very well. Perfectly. No, there's no lien. I just went down to...
So if we were to do that, right, if it had gone, that we would have had to lien the property if there were past fees due.
Yes, I would imagine so. But nobody's liened it to my... Did you?
No.
I don't think there's a lien on it. That would have been discovered during escrow, I would imagine, if there was any kind of lien. So there was no lien to my knowledge. I just, you know, I didn't know there was any kind of fees to be paid until I came here a week and a half ago with that piece of paper for him to sign off on.
Well, we'll bring that in, and we'll ask for, obviously, the staff report, all the calculations to be at the March 12th. Do you have a time...
I think I forget the guy's name over in Planning Commission. I think he said the 14th or something of March. I mean, I can get an extension off that if it's necessary. This guy's pretty easy to work with over there.
Okay, but we'll revisit on the 12th.
Okay, so should I continue to deal with Mr. Curtis between now and then?
I think provide whatever documentation and get whatever information you can from him. Sure.
Okay.
But we can't take any action as a board because we don't have anything to look at. So.
Okay. Well, then maybe we can do it then. But anyway, my question will remain, though. Can something be done about those fees? That's my question.
We don't know what fees are.
You have to. Okay. Right. So we're waiting on that.
I'm throwing darts. It's kind of.
No, that's okay. Yeah. I'm new to this. That's all. Sure. Kind of a neophyte here. Okay.
President, President Guerrero, may I just make one comment? Generally, fees for water and sewer services considered a contract between the district and the rate payer. So I can look into it, but likely there is some basis to go after the prior owner who incurred the fees and a contractual.
Should have been in his real estate disclosures. Mm-hmm. Probably.
There's probably a number of ways to go after that. And any information Mr. Lucas could give us would be helpful to figure that out.
Okay. And that was exactly what I was thinking. Why didn't they go after him when he absconded?
Legal counsel, can we ask if the property was transferred into his name at that time, that would have been disclosed if there was a balance?
It wasn't.
Maybe not. I don't know the answer to that.
As
far as that's a separate issue, and that might be an issue between Mr. Lucas and the former owner. There's likely a number of ways to look at the problem.
There was like a building outside in the back, an unpermitted shed, and I told him I'd take that thing down, blah, blah, blah. So I'm just, then I got hung up. As soon as I came here to get those signatures, I was informed there's additional funds to be paid.
Great. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Edwards, good evening.
Thank you, President Guerrero. Good evening again, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards. I'd like to just use 1 minute, if I may. The first comment relates to your disbursements. I see, again, Water Systems Consulting, Inc. This is in connection with the NCMA. The charge is $1,641 and some cents. Why is this district paying WSC? Why are you paying them? Why are you paying any NCMA charges? You've talked about getting paid not to pump because this district doesn't use its full complement of groundwater. This is them picking up your portion of the NCMA charges. That's a precursor to being paid not to pump. Your interests, this district's interests, are often at cross purposes with the NCMA. I've asked repeatedly, what's the end game? And I really don't know. I'm not sure you know. Secondly, you just heard from this gentleman. This is a pattern of your GM making the rules up as he goes. He is clueless. You've heard of, there's this pattern, McCall, Lopez, this gentleman. These are all people that have existing residences. They're living in them. McCall was a little different. He was rebuilding. But you should not be charging customers. Your developer fees come from new development. The extension or addition to the Avocado Ranch, those units, that's new development. This is not new development.
Thank you, sir. For the consent agenda, the two remaining items are the review and approval of minutes and the farmers market parking. Is there a motion to approve? I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda then. Is there a second? All right.
Second.
Okay. There is a second. Marie, Director Blackburn seconded. Will you give us a roll call vote?
You know what? Can I?
All right. Consent agenda does not pass. We'll move on to the business items. Move on to the business items. Item 10A1 was the warrant. Let's take public comment on the business items first. Is there any public comment again this evening? Ms. Tacker's coming forward.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and I'm going before any staff presentation and in some cases little to no information on each item. The item 10A, you're considering soliciting services in an RFP for grant procurement funding sources. I thought at your last meeting that you wanted to wait. So I don't quite know why that's back on the agenda the way it is. What I heard was Ms. Lucy asking for a legal opinion relative to engaging or re-engaging WSC to pick up the contract that you did approve some years ago. That's not the staff report, and I wouldn't think that anybody's prepared to act on something like that tonight. It's just not here, the information. With regard to giving the Zone 3 representative a position on the budget for Zone 3, of course. But if you're going to do that and make a practice of taking an item to the full board to get the board's position, you need to be consistent in doing such a thing. One such item, you have Karen White over at the Five Cities Fire Authority moving ahead with a very important tax assessment without the benefit of the public and the board giving her the position and that direction to go that way. Matt, I saw you last year coming with some South Sand items. You wanted a position about the Wallace contract, etc. Let's see the consistency throughout. You have an item on this agenda talking about will serve process. There's no staff report. I don't know what that... Over and over again, you're not accomplishing the things you want to do. And much of that is because your general manager is not bringing you the information you need to make solid decisions. And last meeting, when Jocelyn was here and gave you a presentation and asked for your support on an item, you beat her up, and it's not back on the agenda.
Thank you, Ms. Tanker.
And I was looking for it.
Thank you very much. Mr. Edwards, you have 1 minute left.
Thank you, Mr. President. Board, I would say on business item 10A, if you retain your general manager, I think he should be fired, but if you retain him, get him to do some work. Jocelyn Hodson, your district accountant, was doing all the work. Now she's gone, so I'm not sure what you're going to do. You should be working, this district should be working directly with the USDA gentleman, and I don't see that that's going to unfold as you would like. Additionally, on the Lopez matter, which apparently has been moved to a business item, on their behalf, I would like to respectfully request that the money that they paid be refunded. And you have a letter, it should be in the packet. Unfortunately, only a portion of it was included. So I would just like to reiterate that they would like their money refunded. It was inappropriate to charge it in the first place. And I'm happy to answer any questions if you
sure,
have them.
Sir. Yes. Obviously, that was issued, the GM's decision's final without an appeal. So are you intending to have an appeal heard on their behalf?
Absolutely. They've appealed. They've submitted a letter. I've submitted a letter as well requesting the money be refunded.
Okay.
They should have never been charged a nickel. And your GM held them up, just like he's holding up these other folks. It's extortion. This guy has no basis for these charges. There's no basis. There's no new service. No involvement. In fact...
Hold on, Mr. Edwards. Hold on. We'll have the hearing. Does March 12th work?
That's fine.
Okay. Does March 12th... Will you be representing them in their appeal?
I will.
Okay. And if you have any documents that you would like for us to consider for the appeal, do you mind getting those to us by Thursday of next week?
No problem.
Okay. So those were my questions.
Do you have permission from the Lopez's?
I did receive an email today from Ms. Lopez that your office or your company, the J.E. Edwards Companies, or J.H. Edwards, excuse me.
I have a copy of that if you need it.
Was going to be representing them, but it didn't tell me what the scope of the representation was. And so I sent one back. And
in connection with a will serve letter.
No, but what are you providing, sir?
Excuse me?
Legal services, what
the,
kind
the
of
nature of it's representation services through the chair, Ms. Lucy. Your district general manager overcharged the Lopez's, and I'm simply representing them in the context of retrieving their money that was erroneously charged. Is there anything else I can be more specific about?
Yeah, we'll
hear it on the 12th.
You still don't seem to understand. It's very simple. They'd like their money back. Do you have any further questions?
No, thank you, sir. And we'll get that agendized for the 12th, and I'll instruct. No, I think figure that out. I'll figure out how we'll do it procedurally. So item number, we'll go to 10A1, which is the warrant packet. This was Director Angelo had asked that this be pulled off because of the Smith and Sons. Is there any discussion?
I had asked when they came out for their services to give me copies of work that was done related to the different properties involved. I did not receive anything from them. I went over there today, and of course the person I talked to wasn't available. But they're grouping four residences together with one bill. And I want to break out on where they came up with these figures, because I think it's...
Well, what I suggest then is we'll ask a staff to review that bill with you. Maybe you and Marie could review it together.
Yeah, well, I've asked for a separation of the bills because they lumped them all together. And I know what they did at my place, and I have a pretty good idea on...
Where they did other places.
Three out of the four, I know right. what happened. I know sure. what they did, and it seems a little expensive to me.
So
I want to see how they figured it.
Why don't you work with staff?
Okay.
And we can revisit that. So is that the only concern on the warrant package?
Yeah, that was the biggest thing. That was, I just don't want to sign a blank check and let them run. They're not done yet.
So is there a motion? Oh, Ms. Blackburn? I see you moving forward.
Sorry.
Okay. Is there a motion to approve with 01-0179 pulled? Then?
Yes, I move that we approve the warrants with that one removed.
Second.
All right. I'll, Marie, if you can do a roll call vote.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes.
And Director Angelo?
Yes.
All right. That is carried by a vote of 5-0 as amended. Move on to item, was previous items number 10A. And actually, when I...
Can we take the farmer's market?
Well, the problem is the farmer's market was moved to the consent calendar.
Right.
It's not on the business items anymore. Jeff, if we moved the farmer's market to the consent calendar and the consent calendar failed, can we reconsider it in the business item?
Well, you moved it to the consent calendar, and then you approved the minutes. I think if you reopen the discussion on the minutes and then move it into business items, that's probably fine. Reconsider farmers market.
Okay. Because, I mean, I'd like to give them – I'd like to have the discussion and give them – if the board approves it, I'd like to give
right.
that to them tonight.
Oh, you do want to have a discussion about
– No, I don't know that we need a discussion. I think we already did, but
– Did you
I
need –
I think what I'm a little confused about, sir, and I know that, you know, Robert's rules has been – under court scrutiny and stuff, but in past trainings, what I've been informed of in the last one I just attended on Robert's Rules of Orders is that when you have built a consent agenda, right, with multiple items on it, even if you have one public comment or one board member comment, it automatically gets pulled from the consent and put at the bottom of the agenda.
That's correct.
And that's why I abstained on the consent agenda is because that's how I was trained to do it. Now, if the law has changed, please inform us of that.
No, that is correct. If there's comment to be
had. And that's why
I
pulled back off the consent and abstained because I was afraid that legally that's not proper way to do it. And when I looked at you, because we now had public comment on consent items, which then I was scrutinized for not being... knowing the law, and we took public comment on the consent items. So that's what kind of made me stand back and play the middle of the road.
I understand what you're saying. If there's going to be board discussion on an item that's consent, it's my understanding of the law has been is that the public has the right to comment. As soon as the board is going to discuss any item, that item will be removed and put at the end of the business items.
Okay. It's not that I'm opposed to public comment on everything, you know. It's just that I just want to do it right.
Then if there's an issue that needs to be discussed on the consent item, which it appears there is, let's move it to the business items and discuss it.
So we moved the warrant pack because it was being...
That's why we...
It was being pulled, right?
There was a decision.
Okay.
That's fine. Let's take that up first, then. The farmer's market approval, which was previously marked as 10B.
Then, President Guerrero, I would suggest then, because we now have removed that to business item, if there's any public comment on that particular farmer's market issue, I would open that up for public comment again on that issue.
Okay. And I'm going to recuse myself.
Okay. Then I'll make a motion to bring it back to the business items so that we can hear it.
So move.
All right. That's a second.
Oh.
It's okay, Matt.
It's already on there.
Well, no, it was, but we moved it out. Now we need to move it back.
Right.
Now we need
to
move it back. Okay, Marie.
Okay. I moved.
Okay.
And I'll second. I'll second Marie. Karen made the motion. I seconded
it. Roll call?
It. Yes.
What is President it? Guerrero?
To bring it back.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Okay, carries by a vote of 4-0. Director Blackburn has recused herself. We'll open up the farmer's market parking for public comment. Seeing none. Is there a motion to approve?
Yes, I move that we accept the farmer's market letter of request.
I'll second.
All right. Marie, if you give us a roll call vote again.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Director White?
No.
Okay. Carries by a vote of 3-1 with one recusal. Thank you very much. Look forward to it. All right, we'll invite Jennifer Blackburn back.
Do you want to take a minute break or something so she can go to the rest?
She's coming.
What, the letter?
Ones, yeah.
Oh, these, yeah.
All right, why don't we take a five-minute break? It's 8 o'clock straight up right now. Why don't we come back at 8:05
and
finish the rest of the meeting? PM, Oceano Community Services District.
There's one.
Mary and Mario, can I have you guys take that up? Thanks. We're on to the agenda calendar. We've just approved the warrant pack. The second item would be item 10A, approved solicitation for consulting services to assist in procuring funding sources for district infrastructure needs. Actually, when I sent the email about getting this on the agenda, the email was really focused dialing in what Ms. Lucy said, that we had previously board approved WSC to do this work, and I was not anticipating that this packet was brought back in. I think we still have the same concerns. I think the idea is, one, I think we need to review our minutes to make sure that we had previously hired WSC. That would have been in early 2012, yeah, like around January of 2012.
Yeah, we released an RFP. We reviewed. There was a review panel put together,
and we interviewed them.
And then we awarded the contract.
Right.
We had a very small amount of money.
Right.
I think it was less than $10,000, something around there. And WSC was awarded the contract.
That's what I recall.
Board,
as well.
The contract was brought to the board by him, Mr. Geislin. And the board voted on it, and then it got, I'm assuming, put on it in a dusty corner.
That's about what happened, and there was a letter about that. And so,
but still, the board took action on it, is my concern.
And I think what we need to do is to revisit this on March 12th with looking at, and I would direct staff to make contact with WSC, and I would ask...
I think they have.
I think, okay.
Did you read the fourth paragraph in this letter?
Yes.
Where it says that they initiated a project, but then it was not progressed beyond the initial stages because WSC never received a signed contract of the project.
That's correct.
That's correct.
Right.
So
our former general manager didn't sign the contract, and then.
Well,
the thing is we awarded it to them, and so if we award. Director Lucy has a good question. If we awarded it to them, can we then go out and do another RFP? I don't think that we need to if they're still willing to work with us.
Excuse me, President Guerrero. I think Director Lucy is right, and you clarified something for me today about that. In reading the correspondence, I was under the impression that they responded to an RFP, but there was no board action. So I think now that I understand that there is board action, then I think that we still have a pending board action that was never acted on. But we should re-engage them and see if that is still services they're willing to provide, and
And if they're not, then we should move forward with an RFP.
That's correct.
So I would agendize it next time as an update or something, I mean, appropriately worded, and I'd like a staff report on that. Outlining the discussions and such.
And just for FYI information, is that people, they submit for RFPs all the time. But, you know, that doesn't matter. You know, what matters is when you write the exhibit, which is very, very different from the RFP. All this other stuff that you want to include in it is written into the exhibit. So, you know, it's all there. You shape it how you want it. If you want them to do everything in the world, then you put in everything in the world in an exhibit,
right,
which is a technical scope of work.
Would they be able to meet all of our needs? Because I know that, I know some of it is for grant writing, but I believe that some of it is also for, well, just multiple ways of getting revenue. So I don't know if that changes the issue or not, but.
No, it's development.
I don't think it changes the issue.
It's development.
Okay. Just thought I'd bring it up.
No, I think it's good. It's a good question. I just, I think the approach is still the same. So we'll bring that back on March 12th. Move to item 10C, authorize board's Zone 3 representative to vote in support of the fiscal year 2014-2015 proposed budget for the San Luis Obispo County Flood Control and Water Conservation District Zone 3. We did have a staff report on that. Is there any discussion or is there a motion?
I so move.
All right, we have a motion.
Second.
We have a second. Marie?
Director White?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes.
And Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
All right. Carries by a vote of 5-0. We'll move on to item 10D, which is the will serve process board discussion. Unfortunately, there's not a staff report on this. I'll turn it over to Mr. Curtis.
Thank you, President Guerrero. We're having some conflicts with the will serve process. I'm revising and bringing forward all the will serve. I'm having this prepared for myself so I can present to the board a full and complete picture of the will serve process. My request is that this be continued until the March 12th board meeting. And this will also give me a chance to work with Mr. Lucas, who was here earlier. I would like to bring one other thing into view on that, on Mr. Lucas. When I talked to Mr. Lucas, the will serve that he's looking for and the costs run with the property. And I think there was some discussion, there was discussion between myself and him, and he said, well, that should have been the previous owner. I said, I understand, but we're dealing with whoever the property owner is, and if it's you, then we have to deal with you. And so that's where there's a little bit of a rub there that he doesn't feel he should have to pay for, even though it is his property or his dad's property. So I'll bring that back full circle for you at the next scheduled board meeting.
Also, I sent you an email. I was contacted by the Suttons. And,
yes, Mr. Sutton, right.
And he's been looking for his will serve since early first week of January, he said. So that should be brought in also at the same time.
I have that prepared, and I'll have that for your authorization at March 12th.
I was under the impression that if you're below expanding your footprint by 200 feet, you still need a will serve from this district. If you're remodeling, whatever. Now, it's not the same will serve as a new residence, but you still have to apply for a will serve. Is that how, that's how I read the policy, then, and correct me, you know, is that how, what the intent is?
The intent of the will serve is kind of, it's a little bit of a misnomer, but it's dead on other things. It's that we will serve you. And when a property owner changes their face of their property and the land use of that property, that certainly gives the public utility district to reevaluate the charges and the opportunity therein. If there's no change, if it's just adding a piece of frontage to a house similar to the Lopez property that we talked about earlier, and I'll bring that forward too on March 12th. It runs into a little bit of a problem because all I'm doing is adding this onto the front. I'm not changing my use. Well, in fact, they are. They don't see it that way. The regular general public does not see the land use changed. But when you expand a house's square footage, it is a land use change on that specific property, not the use itself, I'm sorry, but a property change. And within that, therein lies the reason that the tax assessor was able to reappraise it for the value mm-hmm. increased by the improvements. Same thing, the value increased causes other things to trigger. It causes the fire authority to reevaluate whether or not they need fire sprinklers when the square footage changes. So there's a lot of things that go into play on these things, and I'll bring a full report at the March 12th meeting.
And can you put that in writing so we have time to consider it prior to the meeting?
I will get it to you before the meeting.
And can I ask you to please attach our current policies on that?
Yes.
Because my house was reassessed when I put my wall up. Mm-hmm. But I didn't put a bathroom in the wall, but it was reassessed.
Right.
So when I built my patios in the back, they were reassessed, the property, you know, so.
Right.
Mine was all of it was reassessed when my husband passed away. And it's like, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, Karen.
Yeah. Then Lucas's challenge is to get a new will served later at one time before when there was sewer and water put to that property, there was a will serve letter, and it's just an improved will serve letter, right? Correct?
It is, and it depends on what the changes are. Have they added fixture? If the fixture counts changed, if the specific building use has changed, the land use may still be residential, but the facility that's using that property is now under different auspices of what they're doing.
Yeah, so it had one at one time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, it did.
We'll move on to utility items. Item number 11, there's none. And then we have a closed session item, which is the pursuant to Government Code Section 54957.6, conference with labor negotiators, agency designated representatives, the general manager Lonnie Curtis and vice president Mary Lucy, the employee organization and service employees international union 620. We'll open it up to public comment. There's no public here. We'll close public comment. We'll adjourn into.
Are we gonna do?
Is there any? Unless you want to take it off the calendar.
We have to. We have another meeting on the 3rd, I think. Are we gonna do inside committees like water and sewer, finance, personnel, any of those? Or we can hold off. I mean.
Yeah.
We're fine with that. I mean, we actually got something done, but, you know, we can wait until later for our next meeting. We don't care.
Okay.
Right, Jen, do you care?
Oh, no, we can wait. I noticed that we forgot to mention that during the committee reports.
Well, I read it as outside committee reports. Mm. That's why I didn't bring it up, because it says outside committee.
Okay, we'll do that next time.
I was trying to actually follow the agenda this time.
God forbid.
I know.
Well, what I'm trying to decide is we have a closed session agenda itemized here. Do you want to continue until the 12th? I'm asking you and Ms. Lucy.
Our next meeting with the union is the 3rd of March. Our next board meeting is the 12th.
So should we hear this on the 12th?
Probably.
Do you think it's safe to wait till the 12th?
Is there anything we need to talk about? This, obviously, we'll talk about it in the back. But
President Guerrero, I did provide the tentative agreed-to points to the board members, and we will be sitting down with the union representation, like Director Lucy stated, on March 3rd. There will also be, with respect to this item, a vote by the employees to take a position on their representation of SEIU, Service Employees International Union, 620.
So they're getting ready to vote.
I'm feeling we're about to cross into closed session.
This is something that it's probably worth talking about in closed session. It's on the agenda.
Let's go back into closed session. It's 8:19.
I know we can do it.
If we get a BGP, stick around. We'll be back in a few minutes. We
can just a couple minutes.
Just with future agenda items, I was curious if anybody knows if there was a reserve policy found, and if not, if we can move forward, which maybe Ms. Lucy can answer my question.
I don't know. I didn't hear anything more on that.
Director Lucy may have a comment.
Yeah.
I'll wait.
Ms. Lucy, Ms. Blackburn had a question as to whether or not there was a reserve policy that was found that existed previously. Whether or not a reserve policy was found that previously
existed? No, I didn't have a chance to go into the fire department. It is built, and Mrs. Davis has been extremely ill. I will go, it is documented from 83 to, from 81 to 83 in the resolution. So, yes, I'll go in and dig them out. Fire department probably has
your microphone's
the
off.
Same duplicate.
We have all the resolutions on the T drive.
Okay, well, then I'll go through the T-drive.
Okay. I
mean, just like to see what we have on the books and what we're changing, that's all, not any opposition.
No problem.
All right.
I was just curious. Thank you.
So that's going to March 12th also?
We're stacking up March 12th, but why don't we put it on the agenda when we do the agenda review next week, then we can look at that and make sure.
Okay.
As a placeholder, we'll put it on the agenda.
Sounds great. All right. It's without further ado, it's 8:40 p.m. We'll adjourn. Everybody have a good night.